Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Privadikacharya Astotara Sata Shishumara's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Privadikacharya Astotara Sata Shishumara's Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavini Ki Jai. Nama Charya Shri Hailas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhaktavindi Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Jagannapuri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Nitaikur Pramarande Hari 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 Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees Hare Krishna. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhaktire Swami Tiyamne Namaste Krishna Viraya Prabhupada Siddhartmane Shri Gaur Karuna Shakti Bhaktire Tiyamne
Narayana Namaskritya Narum Chevam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tito Jayam Udirayat Nashta Praiswa Bhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So this morning's text is from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 22, that's between Sanat Kumar and Maharaj Prithu, the conversation, text 46. Swam, swam eva brahmano bhunkte, swam vaste swam dadati cha, tasyeva anugrahanam. Bunjate Shakriyadaya. Word for word translation. Swam, own. Eva, certainly. Brahmana, the Brahman. Bhunkte, enjoy. Swam, own. Vaste, clothing. Swam, own. Dadati, gives in charity. Cha, and. Tasya, his. Eva, certainly. Anugrahina, by the mercy of. Annam, food grains. Bhunjate, eats. Kshatriya Adaya, other divisions of society headed by the Kshatriyas. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras eat their food by virtue of the Brahmana's mercy. It is the Brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property, and give charity with their own property. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the words Namo Brahmana Devaya, which indicate that the Supreme Lord accepts the Brahmanas as worshipable gods. The Supreme Lord is worshipped by everyone, yet to teach others, He worships the Brahmanas. Everyone should follow the instructions of the Brahmanas, for their only business is to spread Shabda Brahma, or Vedic knowledge, all over the world. Whenever there's a scarcity of Brahmanas to spread Vedic knowledge, chaos throughout human society results. Since Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not depend on others. In actuality, everything in the world belongs to the Brahmanas, and out of their humility, the Brahmanas accept charity from the Kshatriyas or kings and the Vaishyas or merchants. Everything belongs to the Brahmanas, but the Kshatriya government and the mercantile people keep everything in custody like bankers. And whenever the Brahmanas need money, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas should supply it. It is like a savings account with money which the depositor can draw out at his will. The Brahmanas, being engaged in the service of the Lord, have very little time to handle the finances of the world, and therefore the riches are kept by the Kshatriyas or the kings, who are to produce money upon the Brahmanas' demand. Actually, the Brahmanas or Vaishnavas do not live at others' cost. They live by spending their own money, although it appears that they are collecting this money from others. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas have no right to give charity, for whatever they possess belongs to the Brahmanas. Therefore, charity should be given by the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas under the instructions of the Brahmanas. Unfortunately, at the present moment, there is a scarcity of Brahmanas. And since the so-called Kshatriyas and Vaishyas do not carry out the orders of the Brahmanas, the world is in a chaotic condition. The second line of this verse indicates that the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras eat only by virtue of the Brahmanas' mercy. In other words, they should not eat anything which is forbidden by the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas and Vaishnavas know what to eat, and by their personal example, they do not eat anything which is not offered first to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They eat only prasad, or remnants of the food offered to the Lord. The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras should eat only Krishna prasad, which is afforded them by the mercy of the Brahmanas. They cannot open slaughterhouses and eat meat, fish, or eggs, or drink liquor, or earn money for this purpose without authorization. In the present age, because society is not guided by Brahminical instruction, the whole population is only absorbed in sinful activities. Consequently, everyone is deservedly being punished by the laws of nature. This is the situation in this age of Kali. Om Gina Timiranyasya Jnana Gina Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatirubhyascha Kripa Sunnivyai Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Om Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Srinivari Paschatya Deshitarini Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Titanya Namne Gurachishe Namaha Ananda Nilamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Divacha Vishnaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So Here is the text again. Swam eva brahmano bhunte swam vaste swam dadati cha taseva nugrahena nam bhunjate kshatriyadaya.
The kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras eat their food by virtue of the brahmana's mercy. It is the brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property, and give charity with their own property. Hare Krishna. So these are the words of Maharaj Prithu in appreciation for all the wonderful spiritual advice and preaching done by one of the four Kumaras, Sanat Kumara to be specific. Wonderful, wonderful advice given to the king for our benefit also. The king is speaking in appreciation for what Sanat Kumara has said. The four Kumaras are Brahmanas, so he addresses them by their title. Now, before this text, a lot of wonderful connections are there. The text itself, we are at Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 46. But with your permission, I'd like to go back to a few texts before that to bring out, by the mercy of Guru and Guranga, the connections between them. So, even though this is done already, still there is a connection, very much so, that flows nicely. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, beginning from Text 40. Text 40 says that the ocean of nations is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of the lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. So this is a very important statement made by the four Kumaras, Sanat Kumara to be specific, but he was speaking on behalf of all of them. That's why he said, we recommend, rather than I recommend, we recommend that you take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. We all have experience of how difficult the world is. So this is a very, very appropriate description. The ocean of ignorance, which is very, very much pervading throughout this planet. People they don't even know why they are in human bodies. They don't know that they are in prison. It would be shocking to some of them if you said this is God's prison, even to the religionists. Even though they should be able to, with the information they have in their spiritual books, to be able to put two and two together. Still, many people don't know. And if you don't know where you are, how would you even plan to get out? If you don't realize that you're in jail, how would you plan to get out? So people are trying to make it here and trying to do it by their own strength and intelligence. So this is what is being described here as the ocean of nations. It's difficult to cross because it's infested with many dangerous sharks. So non-devotees try to swim against this current with their own strength. And then in doing so, they encounter dangerous fish. The dangerous fish are the agents of Maya. Some of them are agents themselves, and the rest of them are being tossed helplessly around by the agents of Maya. So the dangers are even compounded by the swift current of the ocean itself, the waves, moving against the direction of the non-devotee who is swimming. So these waves, they weaken the non-devotee swimmer. Spiritually, they weaken them badly. And the dangerous sharks will also attack the non-devotee, trying once and for all to kill him spiritually. So some people have already been killed, and that's what we call the atheists. They don't believe at all, so spiritually, they're dead. For this lifetime, they're dead. So the spiritually dead person is the one who is an atheist, and these atheists are swept up like corpses, literally, in the ocean, unaware of the hell that they are being swept into. They are in hell now, but the medium type of hell, and they will go to a more
serious hell, hellish planet, and even the chance of not getting a human body next life, that's also there, where they can't understand anything. Just work by instinct. So that was a very, very instructive text by Sanat Kumara. Now in text 43, that's what connects to this. We are in 46, we'll get there soon. The translation is, "My dear Brahmana," this is now Maharaj Prithvi speaking, "you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are also as compassionate as the Lord." So see, now Prithvi Maharaj is comparing the Brahmanas, the four Kumaras, to the compassion of the Lord. And he says, "It is my duty, therefore, to offer you something, but all I possess are but remnants of food taken by great saintly persons. What shall I give?" So that's an instruction to us, that Maharaj Prithu, who is the emperor of the world, he's saying that all that he has are what he's offered to the great saintly persons. He's offered everything. So the king wanted to give charity in appreciation for the words of wisdom from Sanat Kumara. But the king regarded even the opulences that he had as not belonging to him, but as prasad from great saintly persons. Now, text 44, the king is continuing, My dear Brahmanas, my life, my wife, my children, my home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, my kingdom, my own strength, land, and especially my treasury are all offered unto you." So basically, this is the wonderful and complete extent of Manasa Geho, Deho Geho. Back to Noah's song saying that I offer you my mind, my house, my everything. And we are also instructed of the 9 principles that we live by. 9 principles or instructions about devotional service. Shravanam, Ketanam, hearing, chanting. The last one is Atmanivedanam, surrendering fully, surrendering everything. This is what Maharaj Prithvi is showing. So he offered everything to him. So for us, everything that we have should be directly or indirectly connected with service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Giving to the Brahmanas is like giving to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then to this text, text 46. And in this text, the translation is again, Maharaj Prithvi speaking. "The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras eat their food by virtue of the Brahmana's mercy. It is the Brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property, and give charity with their own property." So this is indicating to us that in the real spiritual deep understanding of life here, the Brahmanas are the actual property owners. But because they take much of their time spending it in Shabda Brahma, talking about Vedic knowledge, so the Kshatriyas, the kings, and the Vaishyas take care of their Brahmanas' property. So on the face of it, it looks like when there's a program and the Brahmanas attend it, that out of appreciation for the attendance and their spiritual potency and advice that they give, that the Kshatriyas or Vaishyas give charity to the Brahmanas. But now Srimad Bhagavatam, through Maharaj Prithu, is making it clear that actually it's the Brahmanas that own the property. Now, if the Brahmanas are the Supreme Personality of Godhead's representatives, then clearly, since the Lord is the creator of everything, that it is the Brahmanas who will be given charge of the property as representatives. But since they are also giving mercy by spreading the holy name of the Lord, and that's what the Lord likes for them to do, in Bhagavad Gita it says those who preach, they are most dear to the Lord. So the Brahmanas are doing that. And so to use the time to try to take care of the property and also preach would be too much. So the best thing is the spiritual aspect, which is what they do, they preach. And Srila Prabhupada describes it like a banker that is keeping someone's savings. That person can take at any time. When you order, the banker has to give the money. And so the brahmanas are actually the ones that are, Maharaj Prithu is putting it, they enjoy their own property. It is extremely important to look at this from a point of view of Maharaj Prithu's own humility. Maharaj Prithu is, after all, the emperor. The people and many, many, you know, other situations arguably should come to the conclusion that Maharaj Prithu is the one that's the caretaker of everything, because he is the emperor. But look what he's saying. He's saying everything really belongs to the brahmanas. And so everything that they do with the property is like using their own property. Although on the face of it, it looks like we the vaishyas and we the kshatriyas that are giving to them. So that tells us as devotees that we should give in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The temples are 100% functioning as service, as serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's all they do. Therefore, it is important that we give as grihasthas and other, you know, ashrams to the temple. When we give to the temple, basically we are giving the temple's own property back to the temple. The Lord is absolute. Everything about the Lord is also the Lord. Everything about Krishna is Krishna. So when we give, we really are giving from Krishna back to Krishna. Now, it is to our advantage to give. It is extremely, extremely important that we give. But we'll come back to this a little later. I would like to go to the purport, as Srila Prabhupada said it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the words Namo Brahmana Devaya. So Namo Brahmana Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitayacha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So that is in Vishnu Purana 1.19.65. It's quite a common prayer that many devotees know. The well-wisher of the cows. But direct translation is, My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas, and you are the well-wisher of the entire human society and the world. Namo Brahmana Devaya, Guru Brahmana Hitayacha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, is saying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the words Namo Brahmana Devaya, which indicate that the Lord, the Supreme Lord, accepts Brahmanas as worshipable gods. Actually, in this Yuga, Kali Yuga, we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's being said here, the Lord accepts Brahmanas as worshipable gods. The yuga, which this is most obvious and actually most practiced, is in fact such a yuga. In such a yuga, there is no deity worship. The such a yuga, people, the Raja Rishis as well as the Brahmanas are the ones that are worshipable. That is actually the practice in such a yuga. There is meditation, which the devotees do for 60,000 years. But the worship is the worship of the God-men rather than deity. So it's very, very, very clear from the Satya Yuga mode of worship that the Lord sets the rule that Brahmanas are worshipable. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is repeating here. The Supreme Lord is worshipped by everyone, but to teach others, he himself worships the Brahmanas. Now, in many situations, Krishna showed this, in Mahabharata especially. When the Brahmanas were around, he was most respectful to them. Kripacharya and Dronacharya, they would offer respect, but the Lord also showed by his potency of renunciation. Renunciation is always when the Lord is showing he is the Supreme Personality, but then when he comes down in terms of mentality and action to worship his devotee, then he is actually exhibiting his potency of renunciation. So he worships the Brahmanas, and Srila Prabhupada says everybody should follow the instructions of the Brahmanas because their business is to spread the Vedic knowledge all over the world. Everyone should follow the instructions of the Brahmanas. Now, I know we are Vaishnavas. There's a whole thing about, well, let's talk about that now. So Vaishnavas, that's how we are defined. Our title is Vaishnavas. A Vaishnava is already a Brahman. Vaishnav way of life, Vaishnav's understanding about scripture, and Vaishnav's activity is all contained in the activities of the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas work in the mode of goodness. Vaishnavas, goodness and transcendence, in the strict definitions of the word. In Bhagavad Gita, it's said that way. The qualities of Brahmanas are wonderful, tolerance and truthfulness. It goes on, there's a whole text on that one. Devotees are like that too. But for Kali Yuga, devotees on top of that chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. And Srila Prabhupada is, you know, charged us to spread Shabda Brahma by distributing his books all over the world. So Vedic knowledge is being disseminated by Vaishnava devotees in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness all over the world. So then Srila Prabhupada says, when there's scarcity of Brahmanas to spread it, Vedic knowledge, then chaos throughout human society results. So that's an indirect statement charged by the Paramguru, Jagadguru, Srila Prabhupada, that in order to bring down chaos, we have to be more vigilant in spreading Vedic knowledge. We have to spread it in any way that we can. As a matter of fact, we'll mention one thing that Srila Prabhupada told his disciples who were going to the eastern countries to spread Krishna consciousness by taking his books and distributing his books in the Eastern Bloc. Eastern Bloc is that, you know, Russia was there and the other nations that used to be in the Soviet Union. Guru Maharaj was one of those in the party called the Library Party. So they were taking books to librarians, Srila Prabhupada's books to librarians, and he himself was also making arrangements to meet some of the professors in the universities to give Srila Prabhupada's books to them. Now, this was so important for Srila Prabhupada that he said that you spread it in any way that you can. And I'll use the words my mind said he got. Srila Prabhupada said, spread it by hook or crook. Now, that may be surprising to some of you to hear that Srila Prabhupada is saying by hook or crook, because crook means an indirect way, sometimes even a deceptive way, to do something. Now, that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He knows that some people, if you come directly and say things as they are, they will not take it. Many, many, many times in spreading or even giving out prasadam, some people, if you say this prasadam is my prasadam from the deities in the temple, the Hare Krishna temple, some religionists will say, I think I'll pass on that. Because they think we are devil worshippers. Because for them, it's only Christ. Christ is the only way. I'm the truth, the life, the way, and nobody goes to the Father but through me. And they memorize this, they know it well, they live by it. Anything outside Christ for a Christian, that's pagan worship. Some of them don't even believe that Allah is God. My own sister is one of them. So imagine telling them that this is a nice snack, but it is offered to the deities, and they think deities are idols. So you can't say like that. You just have to offer it and, you know, not bring up whatever you do, not bring up the temple. Connect it with, even though it's Mahaprasad and it's very good for them. And when they take it, they are definitely going to be given a human body next life and they will start the Krishna consciousness, if not this life. So it's actually good for them. Still, they won't. And so anyway, if this has sparked your curiosity, I'll tell you a little bit about the library party. So what they did, and this is a brahmacharis with sikha and everything, but they can't go wearing sikhas in universities and seeing professors like that with dhoti and, you know, chadars and kurtas and so on. So they, Srila Prabhupada allowed them to put on suits. So they were dressed as, like, you know, salespeople wearing suits, and those that had sikhas, they wore wigs. Not female type, but wigs that are cut, you know, the hair cut low enough for men. And that's how they presented themselves. And they had business cards that says Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. So the entire thing was set up like a kami organization, and the salespeople were coming to sell their books. And Srila Prabhupada's books were called Indian Literatures. So that's how they were salespeople from Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, the company, the trust, and they were selling Indian literatures. It was easy to see that because Srila Prabhupada obviously is Indian-bodied. So if they say they're selling Indian literatures, this is the person that wrote it, and they go on and describe like that. And they were selling sets and sets and sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, one university after another, in the library, and some professors also ordered sets. And Amar Guru Maharaj, the way he describes it, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he would find the most prominent professor in the university, go to that particular person, convince that person about Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Indian literatures, so it's all about literature, and have that particular person, you know, if by the Lord's mercy, he orders, or he or she orders a set of Bhagavatam, then he'll get a letter. You see, we're saying that now. So we still do it. You can even now do it. He'll get a letter from him. He will request that he write a letter talking about how wonderful these books are and address it to the other professors in the university. And so Bhaktivedanta Maharaj would take that kind of letter, handwritten and signed by that particular professor, and he would just go to the other professors and say, here we are, we're distributing other, you know, Indian literatures, all of these books, and your professor in this university, here's a letter for him saying that this is good for you, that you also have your own. And so like that, one after another, because that other professor was the most prominent in the university, and other professors looked up to him. So when he says it's good, then you just take it. So then it was an easy sell, one set after another. The other professors, one by one, got full sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada was extremely happy. But underneath all of this were strategies that he was using. And some of the other library party, some of them too, adopted similar ways to distribute books. So books are being distributed all over the world, in Vedic knowledge. When there's a scarcity of brahmanas to spread Vedic knowledge, then chaos throughout human society results, because then nobody has proper direction. Right now, people are trying to acquire land, steal land, cheat, all kinds of things at the international level. And then, of course, the demigods and other type of kleshas, adiatmika, which is the mind, adibhotik, adidevik. Adibhotik is very, very, very much prominent now. The news didn't tell you about it. That is disturbance from other living entities. A lot of that's going on. We're not talking about inhumans alone. Yeah, there is inhumanity, you know, from man to man, that's going on. But even things like insects, there are swarms of insects that are affecting different countries. The news doesn't tell you about these things. In Australia, there's huge fires going on for a long time. For months now, they haven't been able to control it. That they're even raising funds for more control. I mean, for more ways to combat, you know, the expense of combating these fires. So this is going on. So when the world becomes irreligious, then the demigods crank up the disturbance. And this is what's going on. So Srila Prabhupada says, since the brahmanas are Vaishnavas are direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they don't depend on others. So all the while, Srila Prabhupada knows the Vaishnavas are brahmanas, and this time he included both. Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't depend on others. In actuality, everything in the world belongs to brahmanas, which means By default, they belong to the Vaishnavas too, because the Vaishnava, every Vaishnava is a Brahman. So out of the humility, the Brahmanas accept charity from the Kshatriyas or kings. But everything belongs to the Brahmanas. As everything ultimately belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but devotees are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially Guru. Devotees are representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the world, because we preach Vedic knowledge to the world. But within devotee society, of course, the topmost person is the Guru, who is a direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is much to be done. There is much to be done. As Srila Prabhupada said, second time, unfortunately, at the present moment, there's scarcity of Brahmanas. And since the so-called Kshatriyas and Vaishnavas and Vaishyas don't carry out the orders of the Brahmanas, the world is in a chaotic condition. So much has happened. Srila Prabhupada in other lectures, he talks about the problems of the world. And the funny thing is, people in the world don't even know what the problems are. The real problems are birth, death, old age, and disease. Why birth? Not only is birth difficult, but birth is what puts the soul in this prison. This is how we come to the material world. And death is the next situation that causes the soul to take on another body, another prison suit. Dehinasmin yata dehe komani ovaram jara. So as the soul passes from very, very infant to youth to a young person, young man, woman, and then to an old person, so at the end, when death comes, then the soul goes to the next body, and so dhirastatanamuhyati, a sober person is not surprised by any of this. But does the world know? Some people think that when you die, that's it. There was one particular professor in Russia. Srila Prabhupada quoted his name quite a bit because he talked to that particular professor, Professor Kotovsky. And Srila Prabhupada said the professor thought that when a person dies, that's it. Everything comes to an end. And he's a professor teaching ignorance at a university. So that's why there's so much chaos. People don't know what the suffering condition really is and what is the root cause of it. Now, old age and disease is quite obvious. It's a suffering condition. Old age, unless you're not there yet, the bones start giving you all kinds of problems. There's a lot of pain, especially when you see old people. You hardly ever see any old person, really old person, walking fast. They all walk slow. The fact of the matter is, if you walk fast, not that they can't walk fast, they can, but they will be asking for a lot of pain, because if you walk fast, it's more painful. So when they walk slow, then there's less pain, and they can be tolerating that a little better. That's why they walk slow. So old age already is a way that things that could be done by the physical body is severely curtailed. Disease, well, this ease, the word itself, not at ease. That's what disease means. Means the physical body is in trouble. And so disease, and that's becoming more and more rampant. And believe me, we tell you that the news doesn't tell us much at all what's going on. That China at this point is in great, great, great anxiety because there's a virus that's deadly that's come there. And it affects people without them even knowing. Only 2 weeks later, it shows the signs. And there's no cure for it yet. And it started in China. So China is mostly godless people. There's no name for God in Chinese. This is how bad the situation is there. They don't even have a name for God in their language. So very, very godless, very materialistic. And now the situation there has become very, very, very serious. That China is now asking the European Union for help to try to combat this disease, coronavirus, that's spreading there. Now, the fact of the matter is, devotees know this is not our home. We are to go back to Godhead. Old age and disease does not exist in the spiritual world. It only exists with the physical body here. The soul does not get diseased. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, if you go from text 23 to 24, 25, it describes the nature of a soul. It cannot be slain, it's not breakable, it's not, you can't burn it. So the soul is totally healthy in that sense, all of the time. And it is eternal to boot. So we need to get rid of these bodies by being very vigilant about our sadhana and always doing what we can to help others. There should be the mood. Every time we meet somebody, we should be in the mood of how can I help this person to get Krishna consciousness like I have now that I'm fortunate to have. That should be the question that we should answer in all kinds of ways. And we can answer that by appealing in prayer to Guru and Krishna. Help us with different ways. Stir our intelligence to come up with different ways to save this particular country, this particular world. So many people are headed towards worse situations next life. And that is obvious in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is where the sins are, offenses are the highest. Therefore, Kali Yuga is the age that many people who are in human bodies may not get human bodies in next life. Not so much in Dwapara Yuga or Treta Yuga or Satya Yuga for that matter. But the sins are increased heavily in Kali Yuga, and as Kali Yuga progresses, it gets worse. Which means many of those souls will wind up in non-human bodies in next life. Therefore, a devotee that's compassionate should in fact try to spread the holy name Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In direct ways and also indirect ways. You should come up with different reasons and with different ways to get the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra out. But sometimes people are not even realizing that we are talking about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Any way to help devotees. Any way to help non-devotees in the world, it's important for us to do. So, Srila Prabhupada says in the end, in the present age, the society is not guided by Brahminical instruction. So the whole population is absorbed in sinful activities. As a matter of fact, it is so bad now, the sinful activities, and now it's like in vogue. It's fashionable to be sinful. Fashionable to do things, but those things are sinful. And people say it's the fashion. So we'll take a short while to talk a little bit about a statement that sounds controversial in the Shastra by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada in some places mentions the less intelligent class, and then he mentions women and the Shudras. But actually this age, Kala Shudra Sambhava, everybody is at a Shudra level. So when they mention less intelligent class, that means everybody. That means everybody, not just those in female bodies alone. Now, Srila Prabhupada was also questioned about this because when devotees began to hear it, those in female bodies initially were disturbed about it. And that's why we're bringing it up now, because there was a response that Srila Prabhupada gave. So that next time when somebody, especially that's new, comes to the temple or comes around you and reads a book and sees that Srila Prabhupada saying, less intelligent class, and he talked about women, that you will have the things to respond to so that they don't get disturbed and leave the royal path of devotion, leave the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. Okay, so here's the situation about women. Devotees, matajis, went to see Srila Prabhupada. They were Srila Prabhupada disciples. Four of them preached a new Vrindavan one time. The regular Bhavatam class was changed into a situation where there was a program going on. So I was there. And rather than have the Bhavatam class, they had four Matajis who are all Srila Prabhupada disciples discuss comments and other things in their relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And one of them mentioned this situation about them going to Srila Prabhupada and asking, why have you written that women are less intelligent? Then Srila Prabhupada responded, said, yes, women are less intelligent, but when a woman becomes a devotee, they are not less intelligent. Actually, I paraphrased it. It says, the brains of women are smaller. This is his verse. But when a woman becomes a devotee, it grows. That's how he put it. So he said in a kind of a humorous way, so they started laughing about it. But they knew what he meant. He had said, the science has said that the brain for a woman is 32 ounces and the brain for a man is 62 ounces. So the woman, man's brain is bigger than the woman's brain. But how much brain cells does it take to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare? How many brain cells does it take to remember that or to say it? So, and that is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the main mantra for connecting everybody back to the spiritual world. So women are not a disadvantage. That's devotee women. Now let's look at women who are non-devotees. How do they dress? These days, it's called leggings. They expose much of their bodies, but there's double standard because if you look at the men, they are covered up. Even the young men are covered up. But the young women expose their bodies. As we coined the word for it, it's called outline nudity. They're actually not nude, but you see the outline of the whole body. And that is sexually agitating to men. Yet, these women want a man to relate to them and relate to their whole personality, including their minds and the emotions and everything about them that's important to them. But then they present the sexual part of their bodies. And then when the men deal with the sexual part of the bodies, because that's what they see, the women say, why are you doing that to us? You don't deal with us at the levels that we are interested in. So if the woman is presenting the sexual part of the body and expects the man to deal with the brain, how sensible is that? So that makes you the Prabhupada's point. That's not intelligent. So devotees are to dress modestly. A woman can easily look beautiful dressed modestly. In fact, there was a devotee from Russia, I could tell. Actually, she said she was from Russia. Physical body, Russia. Dressed nicely, nisari, head covered, and she made a video describing exactly the same thing we're talking about. That it is actually quite attractive for a woman to be nicely covered up. And the fact of the matter is, in me, in the male body, we know this fact, that if a woman is covered up, their face may be dressed, be decorated nicely. She definitely is attractive. The man already knows the woman is attractive. But they don't think of the woman sexually if the woman is nicely and modestly dressed. So that way, they can deal with the woman's personality. But then if you wear these things that expose the body of the woman, then the man starts looking at the body and starts thinking sexually, and now they won't deal with your brains anymore. What you really want, the type of relationship, it's not wholesome. It's not more the passion and ignorance. So that's the problem. And that's only one of the problems. We won't even get into the rest of it, but that's the major problem now because women are exposing themselves more. Also, historically, the Roman Empire, and we'll say this in a couple of minutes, the Roman Empire came down. It was destroyed. Now, history says that before the Roman Empire was destroyed, just before it was destroyed, the women were wearing beads. Just beads, clothes that were made of beads. So you could easily see through the beads, therefore you could see through their nudity. And when it gets to be like this, then of course, it's time for Lord Shiva to start action and destroy things. So we are headed, unfortunately, that way, the way women are very, very important. Women are dressing now. They are very important. They are the ones that bring children to the world, and children tend to listen to women more than, or mothers more than, fathers. There's an emotional bond between, and many families will tell you that, the emotional bond between the child and the mother. So if the mother is the mode of passion and ignorance, what is the child going to learn? So the whole society is going down, 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 down. So it's a very unfortunate situation. And so we are charged to try to turn it all around by how the Madhujis should dress modestly, and all of us preach Krishna consciousness and especially get people to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll just go through the translation of this text, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-46, and then after that you can unmute your phones and ask questions. So, the translation. The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras eat their food by virtue of the Brahmana's mercy. It is the Brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property, and give charity with their own property. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you for tolerating me. And now, please unmute your phones and let's have question and answer. So, are there any questions?
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Jai. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy.
Yeah, I totally enjoyed your class.
Hare Krishna.
I don't have any questions. Devotees, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, we enjoyed your class. You mentioned Hare Krishna. Tone rating, but it was just not like that. We every time you say that, Prabhuji, actually. So I this time I thought I would just mention to you that, you know, we really actually enjoy your class.
Sorry, what a call. Krishna's mercy.
So, Prabhuji, I was just contemplating on one thing.
Yes.
Regarding the clothing aspect, you know, and
yeah.
Comment I wanted to make, like you said, university professors, you know, they don't even know the basics about the fact that we are not this body, and there are so many other things about Krishna consciousness.
It's actually worse than that, but go ahead.
Prabhupada set up all the temples very close to the universities. So this way, you know, his thinking was so bright, Srila Prabhupada's thinking, that, you know, he took out solutions for everything so fast. And if we notice, most of the temples are very close to the university, so that way distribution can be done and many other things can be done.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of coincided with what you said today. So regarding the clothing, like sometimes when, you know, there are devotees, matajis, who are actually going to the work field, and say there is like a, you know, formal dress code there where they have to kind of, you know, wear a skirt till the knees and, you know, their legs are not completely covered or something like that.
Yeah.
So in those circumstances also, how one can, although we are living in a country where, you know, in America, everybody is, they can cover their head if they want to show only the eyes or the whole face or just the hair or, there are different hands also, some ladies cover in the Muslim culture like that.
Yeah.
So, nobody can object. So that's really a nice thing about USA, that, you know, everybody has the freedom of, to practice whatever they want to, and nobody can object on that. But what if there are cases where, you know, in formal situations where you have to where everybody say there's a classroom and there's a presentation. So isn't that okay then for that? Aren't there some exceptions? Because, at that time there is a certain situation required. Or should that student say, well, you know, I'm not going to expose my legs. The girl should say, because, you know, I don't comply with this, it's not part of my culture, and I want to be covered 24/7, what may be, you know. Do you have something to say on that, Prabhuji?
What we talked about was general situation. There are times, and that's not in just dressing only, even some of our diet, and I'll talk about that a little later if my Gumarat permits me. Sometimes, because of a particular situation, we sometimes have to go along with it. But that's not done every day or the normal way people do things, or, you know, in this case we're talking about dressing. So in a situation where there is an exception and there's a particular attire, that's one thing. But still, even in that situation, as you said, America, there's, you know, that freedom to do what you want. If it is too exposing of a woman's body, they can object to being part of that particular group that does that, if they can back out of it. Or sometimes we can, in fact, or the devotees can contact the authorities and ask for some kind of exception for their case. Now, I know you mentioned a particular situation of dressing, but actually it goes everywhere. I mean, sometimes when it talks about vaccinations, sometimes the vaccines themselves are based on animal products, and we don't put animal products in our bodies. Therefore, we make a case against some vaccinations. I know my own two children have never been vaccinated because all this time in the schools, we said for religious reasons, we don't do vaccination, and then the school respected that. So my two daughters have never had vaccinations because we made a case against it. And, you have to, there's freedom of religion. So religious practices are accepted as part of the Constitution, and that's how we went. So devotees, whenever you can, if it is against the way we do things, then you can make a good case against it, a compelling case against it. Not go fight, but come up with good reason why there should be a change in the situation. And you mentioned the Arab countries. I saw in the case of Iran, for example, I know changes are happening now, but they also cover the head and the hijab and all of that. Only the eyes are showing. Now, Iran women got interested in soccer, and they wanted to compete. But in soccer, women wear shorts, and they don't wear shorts that are tight on them. They're quite loose, but the shorts. And the bottom part of their, like halfway, their thighs are exposed, and down to their feet, that's exposed when they wear the soccer shoes. And their hair is also tied, but it is exposed. And in Iran, you have to cover your hair. So what did the Iranian team do? I saw them briefly. I didn't watch the match, but I saw how they were dressed. They had a particular, for their hair, they had almost like what looks like a mask, but it's a very nicely designed that, it's the same shape as the head itself, but it covers their hair and exposes their face. And it covers down to, it's tied down in their neck area. So that's what they had, a plastic structure that they had made that fits, it's flexible, and it fits their head. So they covered their head in that way. Now, as far as shorts, they did not wear shorts. They wore pants down to just above, just like two-thirds of the way down to their knees, further down their knees, almost to their feet. And then they wore the shoes for soccer. And that's how they dressed. And everybody knew that it was different from other soccer players from different countries that are not Muslim. But they also knew that Iran had made the adjustment because they did not, the women had not to expose their bodies like that. And that's how they played. So they made an adjustment to come close to what is required for the game, but at the same time, not so much going against their religious practices. So that's there. Adjustment needs to be made, and sometimes good protest and good reasons for protest can also be made to get a little change in the way we also do things. In that way, it will be respected, especially in America. It will be respected. All you have to do is just make a case for it, and a compelling case, and adjustments usually will be made. The final point I want to make is about His Holiness Dhanavir Maharaj. So Dhanavir Maharaj joined in his devotee life, literally. He was a devotee at that time. He joined the Israeli army. And in the Israeli army, he wrote a book about it. It's called When If Attacked, I Shall Chant. That's the title of the book. And in the book, he wrote about how he tried to adjust to life as an Israeli soldier in training at that time. He never really fought a war. But in the training time, he told the Israeli officials, the generals and so on, those who were, I don't know what the name they give these people, but those that were training the soldiers, that he was a devotee and there are certain practices he has to do in the morning. And so his commander asked him, and he says, well, there's something called Mangalati. Starts at 4:30 in the morning. So when I get up, I have to get that done. And after that, then I will worship Tulsi. And I have a Tulsi plant here. It's part of my religious practice. And Israeli army was respecting religious practices. And they said, all right, so is that, then you finished? He said, well, then I have to chant. All right, then after that, then I have to do worship my spiritual master. It's called Guru Puja. And like that, like one by one. And he didn't dump it all on the commander, but just little by little, the commander agreed to the Mangalati. Then he brought up, all right, so then I have to worship Tulsi. Then he agreed to that. Then I have to have my japa. So one by one, Maharaj, at that time, it wasn't sannyasi at the time, got the Israeli army to actually allow him a good 2 hours in the morning. A little over 2 hours to get his sadhana done in the morning before he would join the others. So the others would start training, but he was still at the base, not outside with them, doing all his religious practice first before he would join the, you know. So you never know what you would get if you ask. That's the point we're going to make. Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Actually, I'd heard about this Dhanvir Maharaj story. Very nice. Thank you for reminding. And, you know, I know that the person who was in the jail also became Krishna conscious and he became initiated devotee.
Ah.
I believe.
It's amazing how Krishna
is. You know, and there was one person who came, I heard from Gaurang Prabhu from Mumbai. One person came and said, what is this? You know, you are lying on a religious basis. So I also want to, you know, take a break like this. So he says, forget it. In those 2 hours, you're going to waste your time. You will not be able to do like the way this, you know, Prabhu is doing. So, you know, it's like he converted the whole place into Krishna consciousness. So very nice, yeah.
Wonderful,
and
yeah.
Of course, I was thinking that, you know, just one thought was coming to me. We have skin leggings, you know. There are different ways.
Yes.
If we have to wear a skirt which is like a little bit shorter or close to the knees, or one can also... Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I can hear you.
My battery actually went off, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So one can, you know, yeah, Babaji, can you hear me?
You're in and out a little bit, but...
Yeah. So what I mean to say is like one can make adjustments
accordingly,
and then, you know, you are still covered, but, you know, there are skin stockings and so many other things. You know, where there's a will, there's a way, like that.
Yes.
So one question is coming to me, Prabhuji, if I can ask you, it's not related to your class today as such. I don't know whether this was, of course, because you talked about clothing. Like, you know, in the winter season, we see these trees, you know, they're completely without any leaves. And it's just like a, you know, like a, I mean, I would compare it like to a skeleton, you know, person like a skeleton. Like, when they're like just without a single leaf and they are like that. And, and this, of course, the soul is inside of them. And then, you know, when the spring comes in, I know March, whenever it starts, which is a favorite season, so Krishna's favorite season. So, you know, these leaves come up. So, I mean, it's so amazing how the, you know, the trees are stronger than us. Because if we are made to stand outside, we will freeze and die of death.
Yes.
But if you think of it, these trees are like alive and they are like tolerating. And of course, we hear in the, you know, Shishtashtakam, Tridabati Samichena, Tarurupi Saishnam, Amani Namanadena, Kirtinya Sadhari.
Yes.
So we have to be tolerant like a tree. But how does it happen, Prabhuji? Like, you know, the soul is inside them and they are like just, you know, they become green again, and we are not able to do that. So, I mean, should we think that what should we be proud of? Even the trees are at, you know, like, although they say that the trees are at a lower consciousness, so we can eat trees, but then animals are a little higher, we should not eat animals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the point is, I feel even the trees are at a higher consciousness than me because of their, you know, their tolerance.
Resilience.
Do you have something to share on this? It's just like a question coming by looking at the nature coming to my mind.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I don't need to share from me at all because there is a lecture given by Srila Prabhupada about it. And I've heard it quite a number of times, so I'll just tell you what Srila Prabhupada said about this. First of all, the trees are In terms of going from the bottom all the way up to the top, the type of human, I mean non-human bodies all the way up to the human bodies, the trees are second from the bottom. The very bottom are the aquatics. And then from that to tree life. Now, they are going through punishment. What you see in the fall, the leaves change. And then the leaves are getting ready to fall. I mean, the weather itself is called fall in the season. So they are going through change of color. We think it's beautiful, but actually they are getting ready to fall off the trees themselves. And then, of course, in wintertime, it falls off. Now, why do we get a soul get into a tree body? Srila Prabhupada says, those who in human bodies now are putting themselves out naked. When you expose yourself naked in whatever, you know, obviously porn is one of those, people expose themselves naked, and other times too, people do all kinds of crazy things. Naked means next body you're going to be in a tree body. And just like you described, you said skeleton. So your papa doesn't use skeleton when the leaves fall off. He says the tree is naked. You stand out naked. They don't clothe themselves. And it is punishment. And some trees, the big trees, they can last 5,000 years standing like that, can't move.
And Srila Prabhupada compared it to his school days. He said, I don't know about you guys, whether you do that now, but in Srila Prabhupada's own school days, when a student is causing a problem in class, the teacher would say, stand up. And sometimes he would make the student face a wall with his back to the class for a few minutes. And Srila Prabhupada explained that when a student is being punished like that, how much trouble, how much uneasiness this student feels. Now compare it to a tree that's made to stand up for 5,000 years, 7,000 years, how much trouble that is. So it's extreme punishment, and they have to tolerate the weather. So people who are in heavy, heavy maya, they are put in that type of situation. So the trees are actually suffering. There's a little bit of slack that's given. They don't suffer to the extent that we suffer in terms of the pain, but still they're outside. And, you know, they suffer like this, you know, and then on top of that, any entity or bird, like a bird, woodpecker, snake, they can come do anything they like with the tree. And the tree has to, you know, put up with it. So tree life is extremely, extremely painful and difficult. And the soul that's in that goes through trouble until the weather changes again, and then the leaves come back out. And then, so you may look at it as resilience, but Srila Prabhupada looks at it as extreme punishment for the tree. That's why our chanting is very important. When we go outside, we chant, the soul in the tree will hear and then benefit and even start the devotee life. Depending on what the agents of the Lord decide, this soul can hear the holy name and then begin his devotional life. So devotees have so much power. We are supposed to be humble servants, true enough, but the system has set up that we can just chant, and in the japa walk, the trees and the souls, they can hear, those souls in the trees can hear and benefit from it. So we know that Krishna is absolute, so giving the holy name is giving Krishna to the trees, and then the trees will be able to begin the process of Krishna consciousness, literally in the human body in the very next life. So we should really chant, not just to finish our rounds when we go out, but we should chant with the other entities that are outside in mind, that we are benefiting them when they hear the sound of our voice chanting. So we should even sometimes deliberately walk close to the trees so that they can hear. Just like that. Some places where it's warmer, the ants can hear. When they're out, they also can hear and they also can benefit. Because, you know, insect life, tree life, they're all way down there. It takes a while before they ever get to a human body normally. But when they hear the holy name, they will in fact get to a human body and continue. But to answer your question, the trees are in an extremely suffering condition. Yeah, even though on the outside it looks like they're just tolerating. So that's why Lord Chaitanya tells us that we should be tolerant like a tree and look at what they go through, and as a way of, you know, us bringing our egos down, you know, to be humble. But in their own situation as trees, they're suffering a whole lot. Hare Krishna. Yes, that's true. Your comment that you made about the, you know, plucking the fruits and flowers from the tree and offering to Krishna, that the trees, they benefit from it. Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with that. Yes, it is to benefit any tree that is lucky enough or fortunate enough to get their fruits or flowers plucked by a devotee and given as service to Krishna is most fortunate. Those trees, even that have to leave their bodies because the wood is cut, the tree is cut and the wood is used, but the wood is used to build a temple, that tree benefits tremendously. Hare Krishna. Okay, so to repeat your question, you wanted to find out why when we cook in our kitchen, the pot that we used for cooking, you've heard that it's not allowed to be brought, that pot to be brought to the dining table, and it has to stay in the kitchen. Sometimes you said you yourself don't follow it strictly. Sometimes you bring the pot to the dining table and serve there. You put it on the coasters so that the heat doesn't disturb anything on the dining table. Is it required that we do that? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada, Vedic instructions, he knows, insists you do this. Sometimes there are some rules, but Srila Prabhupada relaxed a lot of those kind of rules. I mean, we know even Lord Chaitanya relaxed the rules, says, you know, in chanting there's no hard and fast rules. So it takes somebody at the level of Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya, that high, to be able to change some things to make it easier for us to follow Krishna consciousness. So in this case about the pot that you cooked having to come to the table, Srila Prabhupada didn't make it very severely, you know, strict requirement to do that. Obviously, you cook, you offer, and then after that, the prasadam, you have to serve. But, it, you know, if you bring that part to the table, it's not the part that you cook from to the table, it's not considered an aparad. Okay? But most homes, they do, in fact, transfer to another plate. Or sometimes, if, you know, my own house, we would take from the plate that, I mean, the part that we serve, you know, the prasadam is in the pot, and we put it directly on a plate and we eat it. We don't even take it to the dining table. We take our place to the dining table if we want to. It's just very, very casual, no particular rules. As long as you eat the prasadam and it's proper prasadam, that's okay. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada did not make it a requirement, you know, that you cannot bring the pot that you cooked into the table, to the dining table. So he relaxed those. But, you know, in Vedic custom, those who, from the Indian tradition, you know, strictly follow that the pot that you cook from doesn't wind up in the table, you have to transfer it to another container and bring that container to the table. Yes, it is nice, and of course, in the temples, we do that. We never see the pot that was used in cooking wind up in the prasadam hall. But it's other containers that are used to bring the prasad. You can do that at home also, but it's not very strictly required to do for grihasthas at home. So really, all we're saying is that it won't affect your spiritual life, you don't commit aparad, if you take that one part that you cooked in to the dining table. Okay, Hare Krishna. Jai, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so the next question, to repeat it, is about the text itself, where it indicates that the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and so on, they eat and other things they do, it's all through the mercy of the Brahmanas. Can we explain it a little more? Okay. Okay, so by the mercy of the Brahmanas, so Maharaj Prithu made this statement.
Maharaj Prithu was making the statement in appreciation of the position of the Brahmanas. Now, if you look at the Vanashram Dham, the Varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. So even in the Brahman, in the Varna setup, the Brahmanas are given the highest position. Then the Kshatriyas, then the Vaishyas, and then the Shudras. So Maharaj Prithu, strictly speaking, is in the Kshatriya Varna. And so clearly, he being really cultured would give reverence to the Brahman. This is by level only. Now we know that he is Shaktivesh Avatar. Maharaj Prithu is Shaktivesh Avatar. But still, he was saying the Brahmanas are representatives of Krishna. Therefore, the possessions are theirs. In their position and how close they are to Krishna compared to the other Varnas. So that's what he meant. And he being a Kshatriya and the Brahmanas being higher in the status than the Kshatriya, so then he was deferring his own position. Defer means being lower his position and appreciating the higher position and saying, everything is yours then. Everything is yours. So we are just keepers of what you own. Because basically, just like we talked about Brahmins and Vaishnavas, they are closer to Krishna in that order compared to other Varnas. So that's what he meant. And he was also saying that in appreciation and in respect to the Brahmanas, to elevate the Brahmanas' position. Remember, he's a king. So what he's speaking, the citizens are listening to it. They're listening to it. So indirectly, he was also asking the citizens to be aware of the position of the Brahmanas, so that they will respect the Brahmanas. That's another way to rule. He has to come up with policies. And so he's already played up the Brahmanas. So then the Praja, the citizens, will also look at Brahmanas with respect. And that will make the society run smoothly like it should. So all of that, there's so many underlying reasons why Maharaj Prithu was speaking like that. Hare Krishna.
And also Brahmanas are considered the mouth of the Lord, right?
I don't know that directly for me, but they are up, Brahmanas are considered the head. So mouth, part of the head, and then, it goes down to the legs, the Shudras, the legs, and so on. Yeah.
Right.
So Brahmanas are actually the head. Yeah.
Very nice.
Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Yeah. Any other comments, questions? Okay, for Manila, I guess we can stop here.
Yes, Prabhupada. Thank you so much for everyone for joining the call.
Krishna, mercy, Jai. Vancha kalpa jubhyasya kripa sunibhya eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namah jai. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Namo jai,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna's mercy.